RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. Well, this week, as far as bottle shows go, this is kind of what they call this, you know, like a standalone episode. This was pretty intense. I thought it was the best use of a single location kind of shoot for your normal show. It still had some interesting stunts and stuff in it, and I'm looking forward to discussing it with you here this week.
Yeah, man, I'm an advocate of having these types of shows within a series. I don't think you can successfully sustain a series with just constant action every week. You got to have that character development. And I thought there was some pretty good stuff this week. So I had loads of fun and cringed a bit.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it does depend on where you put the bottle shows in your schedule, because a lot of times you'll see on, you know, the fantasy sci-fi kind of shows, it's just kind of a breather week where, you know, and nothing necessarily happens. That's important. I thought this was a really interesting place to put this particular episode, because it allowed us to unpack some emotional baggage that characters have been carrying around for a little over a season now. Plus it helps build the tension of what the heck is Adrian Chase up to. We haven't seen this guy for basically two whole episodes. He only shows up for the last 15 seconds, maybe 10 seconds of this episode. So the placement of this particular episode, I think, really is building. It's putting the little breath before the big exhale of the season finale trilogy here, the anti-penultimate, the penultimate, and the final episode here. So,
yes,
looking forward.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's get into digging deep into it a little bit. Digging deep. I didn't even do that on purpose.
Of course you didn't. Everything here is planned out meticulously. So, all right. What was the episode that we're going to talk about? It's called Digging Deep.
digging deep. No, not this okay. week. But episode 20. Of season 5, and it's called Underneath, is what it's called. May 3rd, 2017 is when it originally aired, and it was written by Wendy Miracle and Beth Schwartz and directed by Wendy Stansler. So we got kind of a all-female crew leading up this week. So,
well, when there was one part where I think Felicity said, "We're going to need a miracle," I was like, oh, is one of the producers going to step out right now and say, ta-da?
Was that in our references? Is that part of a... No.
I don't know. Her Twitter is Miracles Happen. So,
that's... Yeah, well, hey, when you got a perfect name for stuff like that. So,
yeah.
Well, hey, you know, despite the fact that Felicity has gained some valuable information, you know, in the quest to find Adrian Chase, her actions have caused some serious strain on the relationship with Oliver. And they should really, you know, face these issues and have a serious discussion and
Absolutely.
Really just talk about, you know, maybe they probably want to probably first they deal with the EMP explosion, you know, that Chase set up as a trap in the Arrow cave. That's probably a good idea. Yeah. See, the bomb has disrupted all electrical systems, including the air vents, which are pretty important if you want to vent the dangerous methane gas that's now leaking in their underground bunker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that it's also disabled the chip inside Felicity that, you know, allows her to walk. All right. That's probably more important. So they should probably focus on figuring a way out of there and trying to contact somebody. But you know what? That doesn't mean that they can't come to terms with some personal issues while they're working on their escape.
No, you know, it's like multitasking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, just talk, kill the time and stuff. Well, anyway, luckily the team up top above, they realize what's happened, and they're on top of it, literally on top of it.
Yeah.
Especially since Lila and Argus have a bunch of really, really helpful yet questionably moral equipment. So no problem. But hey, you know what? Lila and Diggle, they can work on some issues too. So while they're up there, you know, they got some time too. But you know what? Stubbornness can sometimes cause some friction among intimate relationships and also impalement within strong muscular heroes. So stubbornness can be a nasty thing.
Yes.
Luckily, while Oliver ponders his situation and tries to ignore his loss of blood, some important feelings come out. And you know, I feel like our team has made some serious progress during this therapeutic session. Now, if you'll schedule your appointment with the secretary on the way out, we have to go quietly suck our thumb in a corner after discovering that Adrian Chase now knows the whereabouts of Oliver's son, William.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's, Chase is taking it to a new level here, and I don't know if I'm ready for what they're going to do. I'm sure it will be okay, but that just...
This always, when situations like this, when they put like innocents especially, but like kids in danger, it always makes me a little extra tense and nervous and you know, just, cause I don't like those situations. So,
right.
They didn't show anything this week, but I'm fairly certain that that's coming.
Yeah, I'm okay with, you know, 3-inch bolts getting rammed into the sides of our hero when he falls, like, you know, 3.5 stories. But, you know, don't hurt a kid on the show.
No, that's true. Although I kind of cringed a little bit there, too, as I said.
Yeah. So we got a couple pieces of news. First off, there was during the break here, there was... an article that John Barrowman, who plays Malcolm Merlyn, you know, he's been around in the Arrowverse family of shows since season one. Well, he's saying that he will not be returning to the Arrowverse next season, which is interesting because I thought he, along with a number of the other actors that were on Legends of Tomorrow, you know, had kind of signed a deal to appear on a bunch of shows, but maybe it was just for this particular year, for Legends of Tomorrow and Arrow and Flash. You know, it's interesting that now he's saying he won't be on there. I believe I heard a rumor that he will be showing up sometime on Arrow, before the end of the season here. So we still may get to see him, but, otherwise, he's going to be taking a little break from the CW. Mm-hmm. No word as to what he's up to, and hopefully he will come back at some point because I appreciate his contributions to the show. I think there's still, you know, room for this character, and depending on what happens to Oliver this season, you know, I mean, we've discussed if he could become, you know, a villain again, you know, on the show to. You know, after the 5-year stint, but it doesn't look like that will be happening anytime soon. So,
well, I always enjoy seeing whatever John Barrowman has to do, and I do hope he comes back. But hey, you know, he's one of those characters that after he's gone for a while, it makes it just that much more sweet that he comes back.
Yeah. Right? Yep. Exactly.
Even if he's doing his telenovela scenes,
you know, there's he can play it just over the top. Just enough to make it a little – to make it enjoyable, but I don't think it gets too corny. So
No. I think mostly it's fantastic. So
yeah.
Fun to watch.
All right. And then we had another piece of news here. We just want to remind you about our contest, and we've just got a few days left. So if you want to
remind people. I'm really, really excited. Like we said last week – Green Justice is that we're teaming up with a company called Fan Sets to, you know, let listeners win one of 3 Arrow pins that are 2 inches tall, really cool, high quality pins. And we want you guys to kind of join in on the fun over there on Twitter with us. And if you tweet this phrase, you have an opportunity to win. All you got to do is you got to first make sure you got a Twitter account. Okay, that's pretty important if you want to tweet something. I think. But then you just have to tweet this. I want to win a hashtag arrow pin from at Green Justice and at Fan Sets. So then make sure you follow Green Justice and Fan Sets on Twitter so we can get a hold of you, of course, and if you are a winner. And then we'll select some random entries from all the people that have followed us. And you know what? If you haven't followed us, if you've already tweeted that phrase, but you haven't followed us, make sure you do that before the deadline because we want you to still be able to be eligible. So
the contest. I hate to choose somebody that tweeted the phrase but wasn't following us.
Yeah. We wouldn't be able to let you know anyway. See? So
right, exactly.
So you have just a few more days. The contest is going to run. It's going on right now, and it's going to end on May 10th at noon Eastern time.
Yep. Just so, three more days once this, as soon as this episode airs here.
Yep. That's right. So, just one entry, per person and, we'll draw the names at random and see who wins these awesome, awesome pins. And hey, if you get a chance, go check out, our other podcast, Scarlet Velocity, check out the flash pin that you could win, in a contest right now too. And this flash pin will be coming out later in the year, but the arrow pin is available now.
Sounds good. You can also go to randomchatter.com and check out some other upcoming DC TV pins that Fan Sets will be making. They gave us some images to share with all the folks through Random Chatter. And so I believe these are all due July, August, which is when the Flash pin will be available as well. You'll also be able to get a Black Canary pin, Adam, Firestorm, Supergirl, Martian Manhunter, and then for fans of Gotham over on Fox, Oswald Cobblepot and Selina Kyle. So,
really like the Adam pin.
Adam pin looks great. I think the Firestorm one really is beautiful too. Cool. So
they're all lots of fun.
Yeah. And, you know, they're looking to make more in this set. That's the whole deal behind their name. They make different sets of pins, so we'll be seeing more of them in the future, and we'll keep you guys up on what else they are making and what they've got coming. And you can get full details on that, like I said, at randomchatter.com, and you can get full details on the contest at randomchatter.com/arrow-pin. All right, Josh, Underneath, that's the name of this week's episode, and seems pretty straightforward, right? They were Felicity and Oliver were underneath in the bunker. They were buried alive this week.
I'm not the only one that thought that, huh?
No, it's just, you know, every time it happens. I was waiting for them to get in touch, you know, with Curtis and say, you know, hours would seem like days. And, you know, in case Chase was listening in and stuff like that. But
yeah,
it all seems like it was a ruse to keep the team occupied while Chase drives out to wherever the heck William is living now and followed his bus home.
Now, it could have been kind of a ruse that definitely helped Chase accomplish that goal. But it seems as if it also destroyed their opportunity to find him so easily. You know what I'm saying? Because they had all that information on being able to just track his heartbeat or something like that, right? And now I'm not sure they're able to do that because he's destroyed their computer.
Yeah, I guess unless they can – I mean, even if they bring it back online, right, maybe the EMP has damaged it enough that it just won't work properly.
Yeah, I mean, that's I don't – they didn't say that in this episode, but that's kind of what I gathered. Plus, or did they – oh, no, that might have been in the preview that I saw. So we can talk about that a little next week. But they just—they're not sure how to find him now. I saw in the preview. So,
well, they better hurry. There's only three more episodes left. They really need to nail this down here.
I suppose that's true. So that, I mean, I don't know. I mean, nothing in the real world says they have to, you know, catch the bad guy by the end of May. But in this particular case, I think that's the plan. So.
But I would feel cheated if they didn't.
So. Yeah, I would too. But that wasn't the only meaning behind the underneath, I wouldn't think.
No, I think there was I used the term unpacking earlier, but how would you reconcile it with underneath?
I think that what they did, they had a lot of I'm not any kind of professional, don't know the language or lingo, but they had a lot of surface stuff going on with their interactions with each other, and especially with Oliver and Felicity, and they showed us some of the originations of that by showing the flashbacks this week as not something from 5 years ago. Instead, they showed it from just after this season?
Well, June, basically, just after last season.
So in between the two seasons, basically. So,
yeah, but closer to the end, basically this would have been like episode 20. The flashbacks were like episode 24 of last season is what it seemed like.
Yeah. So they used those flashbacks as kind of a starting point for us to see how the relationship between Oliver and Felicity has evolved since their, I guess, breakup, right?
Right.
Which, makes it sound like a season of Friends, but you know what I'm saying. Because that is a pretty important part of the characters on this show. So I think that through this process of getting them out from the bunker that was where they were trapped, they were able to kind of get in touch with stuff that was deeper down. And Oliver admitted, I think, to Felicity for sure, but to himself, kind of some of the reasons he was having these issues. And then Felicity was able to kind of express things I don't think she'd been able to since their little tryst that they had last summer. And then, Diggle and Lila kind of had similar issues. So just kind of really looking deep down into the relationships to see what the real issues were.
Yeah. Well, their tryst two summers ago between season 3 and 4, because between season 4 and 5, that's when they had broken up.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah.
So I'm just,
but that wasn't that when the flashback summer, was?
So the flashback was this previous. Oh, I see. You mean the tryst from the flashbacks?
Yes. Exactly.
I was referring to their relationship as the tryst.
See, on again. Oh, it is Ross and Rachel. Look at that. See, this is why I'm confused.
It is. Well, no, it was interesting to use the flashbacks for that extent. I thought the movement in and out of the flashbacks was interesting, especially that first one where it was the same shot, but it faded from, using the pinkish purplish lights, emergency lights, to with Felicity sitting in the chair, fading into a perfectly lit bunker from a while ago with Felicity sitting in the chair, basically saying the same line to Oliver as he walked into the room. That was really cool.
One observation that I was thinking of toward the end of this, and I'm hesitant to share this because I don't want it to ruin it for anybody. You know what? But I'm going to anyway. So now remind me. There was some gas leaking into the bunker, right? Which was one of the reasons that they were in such danger.
Right. And they kept moving further and further lower into the bunker to get under the methane.
Right. So it was methane leaking into it from that broken pipe. So all I could think about towards the end of the show, well, not all I can think about, but what was that they're having these really intimate discussions about their relationship and about life and about being a hero. And the entire time it smells like fart in the cave. that would have probably ruined the atmosphere if we had the sensory TV where we could tell what it smelled like. So I'm glad we didn't have that.
Well, that's your mind goes some weird places, dude.
It really does. This is why I was hesitant to share that with anybody. But hey, I can't be in there.
Do you
all
want to talk
myself
about this, Josh? Is there some reason why you think about? Farts?
We're getting a little bit too deep underneath my psyche, okay. Are we?
All right, we'll back up a little bit.
All right. Let's go back up toward the gas. All right.
So, yeah, just the use of the flashbacks to help get a little bit of closure on the Elicity home front, I thought was interesting. Because if you recall, between the end of last season when I'm trying to remember when they really broke up, it was because it wasn't just at the end of the season, it was episodes into the season.
Yeah.
That they decided not to.
Well, when she found out about when she found out about William.
Right. But it was what it was like 2/3 of the way through the season or whatever, uh-huh. right? I want to
yeah.
say. And so yeah. that I was trying to think,
was it during the crossover?
The crossover was
Flash?
When Barry found out.
Oh yeah, right,
and,
okay.
And she was like, please don't tell Oliver. And then it was a month or so after that Oliver found out. So so, you know, it was just this, why is Felicity being this way? I mean, that was one of the problems that I had with season four, other than I didn't really buy into the whole relationship thing because of the speed at which it moved. But then there was this breakup and it just, I didn't feel we got adequate explanation as to why Felicity was so vehement about this. I mean, it was not that it wasn't egregious, but it just seemed like she was way over the top. And also we got no closure on the whole relationship, which, you know, in real life, you're not necessarily going to get that kind of stuff. But on TV shows, you know, closure is an important aspect of working with the characters and relationships
it is,
and stuff.
But I also think that is part of what was keeping these two from fully understanding each other and kind of causing some of the tension that they had this season is that they, as characters, didn't have that closure, which is, you know, like you said, kind of true to real life. Sometimes you just don't get that. So I think that was causing some of the issues between the two.
So sometime between the end of last season and the beginning of this season, Felicity starts dating Billy Malone, you know, and now we find out that shortly after last season, when they were still on pretty good speaking terms, Curtis set him up on kind of a little proto date. They had bunker sex. And then Felicity was like, you know, I love you and everything, but I can't do this. And here's the reason why. And, you know, and then it seemed like, I'm guessing what happened was just there was a lot of work that Team Arrow was having to do because it was just Curtis, Felicity, and Oliver at that point. And at some point right before the season, they picked up I guess at the beginning of the season was when they started picking up the other team members, right? We didn't gain anybody.
It was at the beginning. I mean, Curtis was a member of the team. He was knowledgeable of what was going on, but he wasn't doing what he is to this capacity right now, you know?
Right, exactly. So this adds that little bit of, so they had another moment where, you know, they had some connection and stuff and actually decided to continue to take a break from each other. Because all we've really seen this year is Felicity was dating Billy and she and Oliver have been, you know, pretty cold. And so I did appreciate them putting this extra little sequence in between last season and this season as a bridge. And as I said earlier, having it happen at this point in the sequence of episodes, and also to add to what you said, you know, it's given us enough time to see how they weren't working together, and now we kind of get some reasoning as to why it wasn't working, and, you know, getting that closure with the between the two of them, and hopefully, it seems like by the end of this episode, they were actually, you know, learning to work together again, or trust each other, even though they always trusted each other, but it was the language between them was what was getting in the way. I think they both trusted each other, but the things that they were saying caused each other to think that they didn't trust each other.
Yeah, I think there was some, I don't want to say confusion, but, you know, not clarity of what was really going on between either one of them. So, and the other thing that I think this did besides the closure was it really helped to, here's what I really feel like it gave closure on. I was worried about how Felicity was going to disconnect herself from Helix. And, you know, obviously we saw that they disconnected them from her, mm-hmm. which helped a little bit, but she still had that desire to kind of have that sort of power and, Helix, camaraderie or not camaraderie is not the right word, but, you know, having a resource like that. Mm-hmm. And you and I even speculated how possibly next season this could be a really bad problem. Like maybe Felicity would be a part of this organization that would be the big bad guy. I mean, and
right.
they may still be.
It I still don't could, feel, right.
Yeah. But now she has really been able to disconnect herself from that situation where I don't think she'd have to really worry about being obligated to do things for them anymore. I think that she's been able to kind of pull the plug.
Yeah, that was it seems kind of convenient, and I kind of hope that that Helix isn't over, that they're still there. But it does allow the kind of the rebound of Felicity back to Team Arrow, and it probably allowed, you know, the characters to open up and be able to start the discussion that they were having in this episode and then have it.
Yep, agreed.
So Felicity, let's finish talking about Felicity and Oliver, and then we'll move on to Diggle and Lila. Because the other thing I liked about this episode is we're continuing thematic and discussion topics that we started last week, because there's just not easy answers to some of these, and I felt they wanted to continue to explore them. So Felicity continues to accuse Oliver of never having her back when she claims that she always had his. And this goes down to trust, that she always trusts him to do the right thing, but he doesn't trust her. And we got, you know, back and forth on this. Oliver was saying that he always supported her, but I don't think he did. And I was just wondering, do you feel like just because you support somebody, and I think the Diggle or Lila, one of those two, also said the same to their partner. Do you think support is actually equal to trust? Just because you're supporting somebody in an endeavor, does that mean you trust them? Or is it just you being you know, a good friend or something along those lines?
I think those are separate things.
Support and trust.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and they're both, I mean, they can both go along side by side. But he, you know, when you support somebody, you can help them. You can give them assistance. You can have their back. You know, you can be there for them. But that doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily mean you trust what they're doing, you know, or even believe in what they're doing, you know. But if they're your friend, you can go, all right, well, my friend's doing this dumb little project and I think this is pointless. It's going to fail or whatever. But you know, I'll be there for him. I'll go and help him out if he thinks he can, you know,
well, geez, not like Casio that
on stage.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's not a very good attitude.
That's a horrible attitude.
No, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, you,
I'm not asking you to do anything for me. I mean, that's just what it's going to come down to. So, but
you don't have to have both.
So one does not necessarily, lead to the other.
No, but that's, I mean, the kind of relationship that Oliver and Felicity have or had or what either, is something that, you know, they're close and at one point are intimate. And so mm-hmm. they, have to trust one another to have that kind of relationship. I mean, it's just like a marriage. You don't have to be superheroes catching bad guys to need that kind of trust, you know. In a marriage, you want to have the kind of trust in somebody that they'll be faithful to you and they'll be honest and there for you and pay attention. And, you know, so I think that that's important to have a close relationship, especially if you're counting on somebody to be there if your life is in danger, which both of right. them have done for each other.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully that's not how your marriage functions. yeah, I mean, I agree. I think you can definitely trust somebody, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're supporting them. Like, I can trust that this person will not do things to harm me. You know, that they will love me and, you know, like you said, not cheat and stuff like this. But, a lot of times you don't often give that support, along with that. So,
right.
So Oliver, again, I think this is an again. He really reiterates the line that he doesn't want Felicity to end up like him. That's why he's coming down as hard as he is on this whole, you know, Helix decision that she's made. But that's not really true. That appears to be a lie. Right. And that's what he says because, you know, and then he goes back to the confession that basically, it wasn't a confession because it was Adrian Chase telling Oliver, this is how you are after torturing him for, you know, X number of days. And then Oliver basically repeats it, you know, which doesn't necessarily make it true, but the fact that, you know, he enjoys killing and he didn't want, and it's not that he doesn't trust Felicity. It's that he ends up not trusting himself. And it's this convoluted sort of, self-depreciation, self-loathing, moment that Oliver gets back into. Plus he's injured, losing blood, and he's, high on methane, you know, probably losing brain cells and stuff like that.
Yeah. He says there's a methane leak.
Yeah, maybe there's no methane leak here. So, I know we've gone over this a little bit before, but in the context of this episode with these characters going through, the situations they're going through here, does Oliver really like killing, or has he just been so beaten down by Chase that he really believes this now? And he's now kind of filling this in his backstory to explain why he's been the way he's been with Felicity. You know, if we didn't learn about this until, you know, just a few episodes ago here, but Oliver was exploring these issues of trust and or not trust with Felicity, you know, last season, and in the flashbacks, you know, he says, you know, I don't trust you, and she's like, well, I don't know that that's it, but, you know, keep thinking about it. Let me know if you change your mind, which he, you know, in the present day here, he does admit to it. It's like, oh, I've been thinking about this, and it's because I really enjoyed killing and I didn't want you, you know, I didn't trust myself and all this. So it, you know, it, is he really, really enjoying killing? Or again, is this just a thing that Adrian Chase has brought him to?
Well, as I have, advocated for Oliver in the past, I think that is something that Chase has just made him believe about himself. And Felicity backed me up on this week. And of course, you know, Oliver listens to Felicity more than me because, you know, she's better looking and he likes her and stuff, and he's never met me. But she said kind of the same thing that I had said a couple weeks ago after he started believing that, you know, is that he, after being tortured by somebody for a week, and especially this guy, you'll believe anything. What did she say? That you're a flamingo standing on one leg or something like that. So
yeah, it was something like that. Yeah.
So I think that, and I like how you put it, how he kind of filled in the spaces there to kind of start making himself believe that. But I do think that there is part of him that didn't want Felicity to end up like him. I think there's always that little thought in the back of his head. And I think there always has been and always will be. I don't think he wants anybody to end up like that.
Well, I don't think, yeah. And I don't think that's such a, that aspect of it, I don't think that's such a far out thought. No. Think about the person that you love and that you share your life with. And if you want to, if you want to consider it that way. I'm not saying you have to say this out loud. I'm just, this is
for you. Oh, okay. Sorry. I'll just think.
This is in your head time. Quiet thoughts. And I'm talking to the audience out there as well. But, you know, just think about them. And now think about, like, the worst aspects about yourself and, you know, whether or not they know about them. But let's imagine that they do. And, you know, they still love you despite your faults. But you probably do not want them to, you know, emulate those things because you already feel bad about the fact that these make up part of your, you know, your personality, your psyche.
Sure.
And so, of course, you know, you never want the person that you love to be like you. I mean, that's probably why you love them, is because they're not like you.
They're the best of you and not the worst of you. It's like, right. It's a very parenting thing, right? This is why parents don't want their kids to go out and do all of these stupid things when they're young, you know, make these bad decisions, because there's a real good chance that they were in that same position and they know what the consequences are. And so they don't want their kids to make those same mistakes, you know? So
trust me, I know. Yeah, dad, right, whatever. Okay, cool, man.
Yeah, well, and, you know, much like Felicity, it took her doing those things and experiencing the actual consequences from them to realize that that is kind of true.
Well, and what did she say? It was just like she got the smallest little taste, like, you know, just like one teaspoon of whatever, you know, sorta. Oliver goes through, and she's like, no, I can't handle this, so...
Like, he's like, you did, Felicity. Yeah. Actually, let me give you a few tattoos, scars, and leave you on an island for a couple months, and then China and Russia.
I would love to see her start getting some tattoos now. So, well, let's get into talking a little bit about Lila and Diggle. One thing we really started to get to the point where we had some good discussion on this last week, but I don't think we went far enough. And Brett on Twitter let us know, you know, with our discussions and stuff, because of course last week we were talking about how John, you know, all of a sudden had this moral high ground where he was accusing Lila of, you know, keeping prisoners on an Argus Black site, you know, without due process and all that. And Brett said, first off, great podcast. And then he says, I think Andy Diggle would have something to say about John's morals when he was locked in the Arrow Cave without due process.
Yeah.
And
agreed.
I was like, exactly. That is, we didn't go far enough on our show. And this week, the Arrow show continued that discussion. And Lila correctly pointed out to Diggle pretty much the same thing this week, that he's a big hypocrite. And this is why I like the character of John, because he is a hypocrite, but he listens to his wife. Well, he listens to those around him that he trusts, and he internalizes that and says, "Well, shoot, yeah, you're right. I am a hypocrite." And he does try to make amends for that as soon as possible. I mean, he tries to be the best character that he can be.
I mean, if you think about it and break it down, I would say that Diggle is probably the most rational character on this series and always has been.
I just see him looking at, you know, one of the speedsters zipping by and to know how rational he is, because he doesn't just buy that, right? It's like, what the heck am I looking at here? How any normal person would respond to that, probably.
Yeah. Like me, I would, just like him, I would probably throw up every time they picked me up and carried me somewhere so fast.
Wally, I love you!
So, no, I agree with you. That is one of the reasons I think Diggle is such a popular character, because he's kind of... I mean, you could definitely argue certain characteristics of this against my statement here, but he's kind of the everyman of the team. He's kind of like us looking in to these larger-than-life heroes. Now, and don't get me wrong, I could hope and pray that I would ever be as strong and muscular, manly, buff, brave, honorable as this guy, and I never will be. But he's still, like you said, He is like we want to be, willing to change the things about ourselves that we truly don't like. We just haven't realized that we don't like them yet. And
right.
He does listen to his wife, and man, she hit the nail on the head there. I'm like, okay, look. You know, she's telling him he's doing all this stuff, and he's like, rah, 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 rah. But then he's like, how come you do this for your boyfriend, Oliver, but you don't do it for your wife, okay? and that's when he's like, oh, yeah, kind of do, don't I? Oh,
fine.
Hey,
here's a folder of all the illegal things I've done. All right, read this over. We'll have a family meeting when I get home and hash this out. And he's like, oh, yeah, I kind of been a jerk about this. Like, you know, it takes that to see, but it's an important discussion topic because, you know, of course they can't just argue about normal things like who was supposed to pick up the milk or, you know, why didn't you clean the bathroom this weekend?
Dude, we have people at Argus to do that. Come on.
Do they come over to the house or the apartment?
Oh yeah, I think so. But they put a hood on their head though, so they don't know where they really live.
But you know, so they have to. So the show has to take it up to higher level here and everything like that. And it's taking the normal everyday problems that spouses have with each other or boyfriends and girlfriends, just about the communication that occurs between two busy people, and you know it amps it up and just dramatizes it a little bit more, you know, to make it, you know, interesting and everything like that. But you know, I mean, this happens to everybody. You get involved, you're not talking about what you're doing in your day anymore, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, a month goes by and you start trying to communicate with your spouse again, and you can't believe, wait, how did you get here? Like, you were just doing this and now you're saying this is where you're at. Well, it's been a month, but it doesn't seem like that, right? The time passes so quickly and you don't realize when you're not having that, the communication and stuff like that. So, I like the way that they portray this on the show and also, you know, address some really tough questions. You know, is it okay to live in this kind of morally gray, and I would say it's probably even darker than that.
Yeah, maybe a dark gray, maybe a light black, morally light black.
Yeah, like 80% gray. You know, and we're not talking like a 50% here, but you know, I think John's trying to soften a little bit there because he was the one that was really coming out with the rhetoric. So I think by him saying that it's morally gray. You know, whereas before he was saying, oh, this is outrageous. Now he's like, you know, that's him stepping back a little bit on the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now,
I did have kind of one question about this. Because, I mean, you know, like we said, John is he's a good man. You know, he's honorable. He's honest. He's and he corrects himself. So they make up and he comes to terms with what's going on and understands where she's coming from and sees the error of his ways. But she's still doing the things that he doesn't agree with. I mean, so is
well,
he just going to be
okay? She's still doing the things that, yeah, I mean, she's still doing the things too. I mean, cause that's part of her job.
Can it still be a topic for discussion? Like,
I hope
you know,
so.
I mean, if you're going to hold Caden James in this black site, at least let's not put him in, you know, like an iron cage with no windows and a hood over his head. Or I don't know.
Right. Yeah, it's. I hope it can still be a discussion because I think it's a really interesting and it's also topical. You know, just to within real world politics and stuff like that. But. I mean, they both have to keep doing their jobs, and it'll be interesting to see if this changes anything. Does this change the way Lila thinks about how Argus should be run? Because I mean, she's running Argus. Ultimately, it comes down to the decisions that she has to make and stuff like that. And you know, previously she was saying it's just hard. You know, it's different now that I'm on this side of the desk. Well, it doesn't have to be. And, you know, maybe it'll make John think a little bit differently about the way that the Team Arrow does stuff. And he will be more of a, you know, Jiminy Cricket, voice of the conscience, voice of conscience, on Team Arrow's side.
I'm kind of for that. And that's, again, it's showing that he learns from his mistakes and that he can move on and become a better person, you know? So,
yeah.
I'm with you. I hope that happens as well.
When you were describing John earlier and you were listing off the adjectives and stuff, I thought that you were going to just, you know, say that you like him because he's trustworthy and loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And I was just going to agree with you on all of those. So
definitely. I agree.
that is what he is. So
yeah. Throw in a buff in there too, I think. Cause
yeah. All right. I got one other topic I want to talk about. And this came out of like nowhere apparently, but it seems too much to be coincidence. So we're going to do a little investigative report here. The number 11, okay. What's the deal?
What's my favorite number, man?
11's your favorite number?
That's my birthday.
Your birthday's 11?
Yeah, 7-11. July 11th is my birthday for all of you out there looking.
It's 11. So.
No, that's a good number. So I like what you're going to talk about. Let's reveal this.
So, you know, it starts off for the episode. They go to the flashback. How many months ago was that?
I don't know. I didn't know there was going to be math. 11.
11.
Whoa,
right.
11. Look at that.
And then Curtis goes to investigate what's going on at the bunker. He thinks he hears an explosion. Cut to Oliver firing explosive-tipped arrows. Felicity asks, how many is that? And Oliver answers, Josh?
11.
Yeah. And then... the number of I told you so's that Felicity says she has given him, 11. And
okay,
then,
well, wait a minute. You're blowing my mind here.
I know. Well, I'm like, this has got to be, I mean, this is, you know, people wrote this, right?
I think so. Yes.
not just written by a computer. And then Curtis, this is the weakest one of them all. Curtis says they have 5, maybe 6 hours. Well, 5 plus 6 equals 11. And these were all within the first 20 or 30 minutes of the show. That's what kind of got my attention, was that the show was like preloaded with these numbers. So I did a Google search just to see what does the number 11 signify. And of course you can find stuff to pretty much support anything, but
picture of my birthday.
I did not see that. Well, at least not on the first page. It might have been
on the 11th page, back. I think, is where that was.
It probably was. I should have gone to the 11th page. I didn't even think about that. Well, out of the top hits, it can symbolize disorder, chaos, and judgment. In 11 also has been considered a symbol of internal conflict and rebellion. 11 is also a master number. A number which is derived from a single root number. So, you know, because it's two ones. And then the 11th hour suggests urgency because the clock runs to 12. This is the last hour to get things done. And I thought several of these things apply to elements from the show. I mean, there was sort of an 11th hour urgency, even though nobody used that terminology here. But, you know, they definitely had a countdown going that they had to get out by. First, they were going to run out of air. Then they were going to get blown up by the methane when the generators kicked back in. There was also disorder, chaos. The characters were passing judgment on each other. Lots of internal conflict, especially within Oliver and Felicity there. You know, so I think there was... You know, I have to imagine that who is it? Wendy and who's the other? Beth. You know, put this stuff in there on purpose, but I probably wouldn't noticed it except that they, you know, did the rule of three. They have, you know, three 11s in there. So
That is a coincidence. I would love to know if there were other thoughts about that.
Maybe we can tweet Miracles Happen and ask her about that.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, we'll include a tag to this episode here so they can listen to it if they want. So anyway, just something I thought, because, you know, again.
You know me, I love stuff written, like that. So
yeah.
Symbolism.
Had you noticed that before I had brought it up?
You know what? That wasn't something that I had seen. I bet if I had watched the episode one more time, I probably would have come across that, because that's when I usually look for nuances and things like that, you know, on the third or fourth viewing. So, no, that's very cool. Like I said, and so, I mean, I remember every time that you mentioned there, I remember that. Yeah. And it does seem so obvious and unnecessary. I mean, why would you even ask about how many arrows he shot at the door? You know, I mean, why would you say how many times you've said, I told you so? So, cause that could have gone by and not changed anything in the episode.
Right. Well, and even if you did, why does it have to be the same number every time?
Right. Right.
You know, and it's not like,
as a matter of fact, if it doesn't mean anything, you'd think it would be a different number just randomly, you know? So
exactly. So, and the last thing I wanted to point out here, because I know I brought this up way, way earlier in the season, though. It appears that Dinah ships Curtis and Renee. She says something about that being a great relationship that they've got going on there, or something like that. So
that's going to be a great relationship someday. I think there's something like that.
A great relationship someday. So I tell you, it's a thing. I think it'll be it's Crene. I think that's the
Oh, are we doing that? Is that what we're doing? Really? All right.
I'm telling you, hashtag Crene. We're getting behind this.
Okay. All right. So. I'm fine with the relationship. I'm not sure about the name, but.
Okay. It just sounded better than Rurtis.
Yes, I agree with you on that.
Okay. So, good. Crene it is. Besides Brett's piece of feedback that I read earlier, Benjamin also tweeted at us, said, Haas is pretty annoying, but it's so weird that Diggle is mad when he knows Team Flash has been doing the exact thing for three seasons, meaning the keeping people without due process.
Again. Yeah.
Very much the same thing that Brett was saying. So thanks to everybody else that pointed that out. It is true. Diggle is a hypocrite, and
but he admitted it. So
he's big enough to admit it, I guess. So, any interesting references that you got from the episode this week?
Oh yes, two really really obvious ones. I wouldn't even hide these. But the first one was from a movie that's on my classic retro movies list that I love to enjoy is from the Beastmaster, which is who Curtis named his two flying balls. I mean,
his T-spheres.
Kodo and Podo were the little, I guess, ferrets. They were ferrets, right?
Yeah, they were ferrets.
In the Beastmaster. So yeah. That was an awesome reference.
As soon as he said Kodo and Podo, I was like, no way. Wait, he's got to be talking Beastmaster. If you haven't checked it out, it's a movie.
It's a movie for sure. Definitely.
81, 82, with Mark Singer and, Tanya Roberts and, the great bad guy, Rip Torn, plays an excellent evil priest, in that.
Now so. We are dead. Anyway. Yeah. Fun movie. Especially if you like those retro movies.
Yeah. And what was the other one?
Oh, okay. Well, then there was one where they used the T-sphere as he sent it down to Oliver to give him an injection of adrenaline, which, man, I need to get me some of that.
Yeah.
Stop drinking coffee in the morning and have some adrenaline, because that stuff works great. It's fast, too. but the little needle pops out of the T-sphere, and Felicity said, "It looks like the Death Star interrogation droid." It really did.
Indeed it did.
It really did, yeah. But that was
I also got the sense that it looked a little bit like I still think the T-spheres look a little bit like the silver balls from Phantasm, except without the blade coming out of it or the drill or whatever. But when
he's got those in there too. We just haven't used them yet.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure. Well, Argus has them in there because you know he doesn't think about doing stuff like that. But when Argus steals your tech and upgrades it, you know it's totally worth it.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what the upgrades are. I mean, I would like to know all kinds of stuff that Argus messed around there with. But
well, depending on what the plot calls for, I'm sure it can do that. So
yes,
we'll see. So, all right, Josh. Well, I think that's all we've got for this week's episode of Green Justice. But thanks everybody for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
And we hope you guys enjoyed listening to us talk about it and hopefully enjoyed the episode of Arrow as well. So why not share it with your friends? Let them know by leaving us some feedback on iTunes. Just get on over there to iTunes, tap review, and give us a nice little review for people to see. Or, hey, if you want to talk to us, we'd love to hear from you. You can send us an email at greenjustice. No, let me rephrase that. It sounded wrong. Our email address is greenjustice@randomchatter.com. If you like starting things with the at symbol, then you can go to Twitter. That's the place to do that. At greenjusticepod is where you can find us over there. And you'll definitely want to know that one so you can enter the contest to win the arrow pin. By tweeting, I want to win an hashtag arrow pin from Green Justice and at Fansets. So go to randomchatter.com if you want more information and to check out a picture of the pin. Very cool. And also you can visit our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Green Justice Podcast.
And you can check out the other podcasts that Josh and I host, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which technically, it's been Agents of Hydra Case Files for the last few weeks, but I think things are returning to normal over there for the last couple episodes of the season. And Scarlet Velocity of Flash podcast, which is also down to the last three episodes as well. Those are all available via randomchatter.com. And you can also find all of our shows in the iTunes Store or through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And of course, if you enjoy the podcast, please be sure to tell your friends. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed this city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.